now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. And today on the show we have Section 2, 28. 28
Session
and me.
28, yeah. I managed to catch up with Tom Marshman about his brand new show.
And you've given the hardest word in the world.
I told you
I'd
say
it. And on the show is craniosacral therapist.
There you go. Lisa Loder. Then I've got to say her name wrong. Lisa Loder is here in the studio to explain all.
All today?
Right, here on Shout Out. Dum dum dum.
Hello, the everyone. Theme tune. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to summer.
Yeah.
At long last.
Got a bit of sunburn yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. I was wearing a cap for a change. So for once, I haven't actually burnt my head. Because despite the fact it happened like 10 years ago, I lost my hair and went bald. I still forget it every single year. Put suntan lotion everywhere except on the top of my head, and then wonder why it hurts.
Be careful. Gonna be careful. You get sunstroke if you're not careful.
So, but it's here to stay for a little bit.
Yeah. Supposed to be hotter next week.
Nice weather for a change. So,
Now I've got a bit of a dedication in this week's show. I don't know if you saw the news. If you're not necessarily a child of the 90s, but someone who was dancing in the 90s, you might remember a certain guy called Dario G.
Oh, yes.
Very well known for a song called Sunshine that I got coming up later on. It was a sample of another one, wasn't it?
It's a sample of A Life in a Northern Town by Dream Academy.
Yeah.
And Sunshine was a hit in 1996. Remarkable video as well, very striking.
Yes,
and lots of airplay on MTV and so on.
Did Carnival to Paris, which then went on to become a football anthem. And he also did a remix with, I'm looking through my thing, let's see where it was. What's her name?
No idea.
I'll tell you when we play it.
I'm just
Shirley Bassey, there you go.
But he passed on, didn't he? That's the reason
he's very sadly passed away of bowel cancer. Aged just 53, sadly.
Do you know what's spooky is just before his death was announced, I played Carnival de Paris on one of my other shows.
Oh, really?
How spooky is that?
It's your fault, Ben.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tara.
They say trans women are responsible for everything when they do in the Daily Mail, anyway.
Yeah. I thought that was just the weather.
No, it's everything.
It's honestly gay men that control the weather. It's trans women that control everything.
We just kill people.
As a Lisa, you can hear that cackling the way.
Other disreputable newspapers are available, but the Daily Mail mostly.
My point was I got a bit of a tribute to him. I was a massive fan. I mean, in 96 I was just coming out, so
you're a teenager.
Dario G, I was 18 in 96.
So
it has a lot of fond memories for me of coming to terms with coming out and being gay and the
have you heard the original of Sunshine?
Yes, it's
a beautiful track by Dream Academy. It's just
different.
A sample of the middle bit, isn't it, the orchestral piece.
Yeah, and there's actually some really good remixes of that one too that he did. If you go on YouTube, you can see him actually performing it live and doing acoustic versions of it. And also, I checked it out last night because I'm just curious. So, something else from our childhood. Certainly myself. Did it affect you? Yeah, it's probably Section 28.
No. I was gone by then.
Gone.
I was gone. University. I had arrived at university.
But it was for us, wasn't it? Section 28 was quite a big effect. Did it?
I was 15 in 1988.
Yeah. Well, if you're not aware, Section 28 was basically... Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I'll let Tom explain. It was lovely to catch up with him again after all this time. So this is the lovely Tom Marshman. Now, every now and again, we go back and talk to someone we've spoken to before. My first memory, I think, interviewing our next guest, it's got to date back, nearly 15 years. I think it was right at the start of Shout Out when we were talking to someone about the legs of Pretty Polly. I'm very pleased to say, well, welcome back to Shout Out to Tom Marshman. Tom, it's lovely to have you on again. Am I remembering correct? Was it about 15 years ago? It was something like that, I'm sure.
Well, my show Legs 11 was in 2011. So, that's when it came out. I revisit part of that show. So, it's quite apt, really.
Now, obviously, Asia, we know you quite well. I mean, I think you were one of the winners in the Shoutout Listeners Awards last time round as well. And we've had you on the show before. But for the listeners who don't know you, give a little bit of background about who you are and what you do.
So I'm a performer, theatre maker and writer. I'm based in Bristol. And I think that what the work that I make is often around queer stories. And often I work in archives and I sort of try to shine a light on hidden stories. So, yeah, it sort of feels a bit like I'm somehow rehabilitating history in the way that we think about queer narratives, I suppose.
And from what I've seen, you've done all sorts over the years, haven't you? I mean, Pretty Polly obviously was our first, I think, foray with you because we were quite new with Shout Out. But since then, I've seen you do all kinds of things on stage and the like. I don't really know how to describe it because from what I've seen, they're all quite different, aren't they? Is there something that binds them all together, or you know, do you specifically do lots of different things?
I've been making work for 25 years, and the shows that I make all have sort of like, I suppose I have a kind of queer lens on what I'm interested in and how I present it. I think I probably steal from a lot of different forms. So I often work with lip syncing and drag, cabaret and verbatim theatre, and sort of personal autobiographical kind of monologues. But then often I collaborate a lot with historians or archivists. So there has that kind of element of rigor around the work that I don't necessarily bring to the work, but I work with people that help support that work. So with this project, I've worked with four academics who are based in Bristol University, thanks to Brigstow, which is part of Bristol University. And really, they were there to support my research around that. So I have these tea parties, and with this project, I hosted tea parties, I mean, all over the country, but in specifically in Bristol, I hosted them at M Shed, at the Bear Bar, at Trinity, various other places, at Bricks, in St Anne's House, and I asked people what their Section 28 story is. So the tea party is a way of gathering people together and collecting the stories.
So, well, that kind of very nicely leads me into this latest project, because it is about Section 28, and there is now a generation that have not heard of Section 28. So for those that haven't, do you want to give a quick synopsis of what it was?
Yeah, Section 28 was the law that forbid the promotion of homosexualities in schools from 1988 to 2003, I think. And it was a very difficult act to reinforce, I suppose. So as far as I'm aware, nobody was really penalised because of it, but it just kind of basically fed into that culture of fear that surrounded really talking about any kind of queer life. So
it had a huge effect on people in our generation. I think we'll talk about, because I know some of this is from your own experience too, but certainly for me, because no one ever was able to say, yes, gay people exist, yes, it's okay to be gay, you know, my experience of it at school meant that it was a hush-hush thing, and you know, the teachers wouldn't talk about it. It was something to bully people about. So it led to an awful lot of issues with youngsters trying to come to terms with being gay. And to this day, I still blame it for a lot of the issues I had around coming out and blaming myself and not feeling right and the like. And I know that's a thing that's shared by a lot of gay men. I don't want to assume how old you are. I don't know if we're a similar generation or not. I would assume so. Because, I mean, what was your experience of Section 28 and how has that kind of helped influence the play?
Yeah, so I think we probably are a similar age, yeah. So I came of age and exploring who I was as a gay man when Section 28 really came about. So I can't really say, you can't really say that things were any better before, or they weren't. But I think that when I wanted to kind of be you know, screaming for joy and having a great time, actually there was this sort of whole shame and invisibility around that culture. So I think that that definitely fed into how I perceived my place in the world. But I have this sort of particular question that I open up the show with, which is exploring, like, am I a show-off? Am I compelled to share these queer stories in the work that I've created throughout my whole sort of 25-year career? Because I grew up in a time when things were so invisible, that there was so much shame, that now I feel like compelled to keep sharing these stories. And I kind of, you know, I have this sort of like practice that just keeps churning out these shows. I have this like storeroom where I store everything from the shows that I've ever made. And when I look at that, I think of Section 28, because I think I was compelled to make these shows because I had this sort of sense of being storyless when I wanted those stories. So I had to make them up myself or find ways to tell them.
Is some of it not also it's important about making sure we don't forget what happened, and that the generations coming through hear what we went through and the like? Because, I mean, it's like recently the government's tried to pass effectively a Section 28 against trans people. Is some of this also about making sure that we don't forget the history, and by telling that story you're keeping it alive so that it doesn't get forgotten, so we don't go back to where it was?
Yeah, and I think that we can learn from what went wrong then, really. So I think that people will no doubt see the echoes of that bill and what is happening now. So that is very prevalent within the work, and the tea parties that I've hosted, that people have come, like, everyone's welcome to those tea parties, and there's lots of stories from lots of different people, from trans people, from gay men, from lesbian people, you know, all different types of people, and everyone is no doubt affected by Section 28, or what the hangover has been, or this new legislation that is coming in, I think.
So do I take it it's quite a serious show then?
I think it has moments of real seriousness and real sensitivity, but there's also like real moments of joy and cabaret. For example, I perform as Margaret Thatcher doing a lip sync with a smoking handbag.
Marvellous.
Pearls that swirl around my neck. So there's definitely a lot of humour there.
So I was going to say, because it is quite a serious subject. I was going to ask, how do you stop it from just being doom and gloom the whole way through the show? But I think you answered that. I think that was the last answer I was expecting. You said Margaret Thatcher stringing pearls. But what a brilliant way to kind of keep it still quite light-hearted with such a serious subject.
I think there is something in the queer sensibility that will always lean into humour when talking about these dark issues. And so I've definitely done that with this piece. Susan Sontag's Notes on Camp really talks about like taking something very silly and making it very serious, and taking something very serious and making it very silly. Mm. And I think I've always done that within my work. So there are elements of humour. I talk a lot about teachers that I thought of as queer when I grew up.
I'm assuming, having no idea whether they actually were or weren't.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't really talked about, so who knows? I've imagined that for them.
Kids' imaginations. So tell us a bit about it. What's the plan? Where's it opening? Where are you taking it to? Where can people see it?
Well, we've made it really to align with a lot of the prides. So we open on Friday in Plymouth Pride. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Cardiff for Cardiff Pride. And then we come especially to Bristol, which I'm particularly excited about, at the Watershed. So we're kind of transforming one of the event spaces into a theatre. And then I think it's at Hay. I think it goes to Margate. I love going to Margate Pride. So I always try and present something at Margate Pride. And Peterborough. The list goes on, actually. Gloucester. I only ever really think about the kind of dates that are in the immediate future. Well, I can't remember all of them, but there's about 12 dates.
You've got a website that I presume has got them all on it, has it?
It has, yeah.
So, and
some of them haven't been confirmed yet, but we keep adding to them. And sometimes people are just taking the tea party. Some people are taking, like, the work is kind of scalable. So sometimes I'll just do a cabaret number like the Margaret Thatcher lip sync. And sometimes I do the full show.
Right. And do I assume ticket prices vary depending on where it is, or?
Yeah, I haven't been a part of organising the ticket prices. The venue do that, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, if you are listening and you want to see Tom, I think probably the best thing is tommarshman.com, isn't it, your website, correct me if I'm wrong.
That is right, yeah.
Is the next one in the head yet or down on paper? Have you thought what's after, or do you just concentrate on the one at a time?
I'm sort of like thinking like this could be the last show that I ever make in this way, because touring a theatre show is just kind of relentlessly hard. And now I'm 50, I just feel very tired about lugging suitcases around the country. So it could be the last show, or I could be completely wrong. But I've started writing my memoir, which is about my experience in Bristol in the 1990s. So it's sort of a trip down memory lane. So I'm sort of slowly moving into writing, but who knows?
Well, I mean, when that comes a bit more to fruition, perhaps we'll have to get you back on and you can talk to us about your memoirs. So I find it fascinating looking back at how different things were in the 90s compared to now. And it's getting a bit of a revive. Even 90s fashion seems to be coming back with the teenagers and 20-somethings at the moment. So.
But yeah, there is a bit of a 90s zeitgeist at the moment, it feels.
Yeah, it makes you wish you hadn't thrown your baggy trousers away from all those years either.
I still wear things like that anyway.
I do, but they're tight now. That's the difference. So, but listen, Tom, it's been lovely catching up with you, and best of luck with it. TomMarshman.com once again for listeners that want to check it out. And seeing as it's for Pride, have a very happy Pride, or in your case, Prides, I think we should say. And we wish you the best with the tour.
Great, nice to see you.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A lovely Shirley Bassey and Dario G. I think it was really just her song, and I think he got involved and did that remix of it. So that's a bit different to the original. That's called We Got Music. Oh,
we sure do.
Yeah.
On your community radio station.
I'd actually not heard that one until I went and looked for some additional songs from Dario G.
Definitely a good one for Pride, that one.
It's got that fun vibe to it, hasn't it?
You can imagine walking around with that one.
You can.
Yeah, I'll put it in the playlist for Pride if you like. So we can play it up on the downs when we're partying. I can't believe, what are we, 3 weeks? Did you say it was 3 weeks?
I think it's 3 weeks this weekend, isn't it, to Bristol Pride, yeah.
Come round quick.
And London Pride, I think, is this weekend coming.
Cardiff Pride
is
this weekend.
Is it also this weekend? And is it Glastonbury as well? I think it might be the Glastonbury Festival too.
Oh, well.
Which always has a big LGBTQ plus tent stage.
Some people going, which one do I go to? Which one do I go to?
Pulled in all directions.
I think we should all sing what Fred Flintstone did at the start of the show. We'll have a gay all day.
We certainly will. Yes. That's going back.
Right. Now, can you put your serious voice on for me? Because you don't very often do this, you know. So this is the news. You have to read it prim and proper like Mr. Star does.
It's a long time since I've been called prim, let alone proper.
Well, here's your news headlines.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
The People's Republic of Stokes Croft newsletter reports that Bristol Pride head up a coalition of LGBTQIA plus friendly organisations who have invited candidates from each of the four larger parties, Conservatives, Labour, Liberal Democrats and Green parties, to answer questions from members of our communities ahead of the election. You need to register for the event, but tickets are free. You have the chance to submit a question for the four local representatives when booking online, or you can email your question to Pride's committee directly instead. The event will be co-chaired by a representative from local independent and cooperatively owned newspaper, the Bristol Cable. The event is on Monday evening, the 24th of June. The venue is Foundation Space, lower ground floor, St George's Road, Bristol, BS1 5BE. This is the Tridos Environmental Bank's event space. And you can book tickets at bristolpride.co.uk.
Blue Sky Radio, an independent commercial channel, says that Sir Ian McKellen has been taken to hospital after he fell from the stage during a West End performance. The 85-year-old Lord of the Rings actor is currently playing John Falstaff in a production of Player Kings at Noel Coward Theatre, was in a fight scene when he lost his footing and fell from the stage. The audience were informed that the remainder of the evening performance had been cancelled and they were evacuated from the premises. A BBC journalist who saw the play said the veteran stage and screen actor was in the scene involving the Prince of Wales and Henry Percy when he fell off the front of the stage. The actor was heard to cry out in pain as staff rushed to help. Reports on BBC News and Sky News channels on Wednesday say that Sir Ian is making a speedy recovery and as wished well by many thousands of people.
Erin Reid at the long-standing LGBTQIA plus newspaper The Washington Blade reports that transgender computer pioneer Lynn Conway has passed on to the realm of our LGBTQIA plus ancestors at the age of 86. Her story is nothing short of remarkable. Conway helped pioneer early supercomputers at IBM, but she was fired after transitioning. She went stealth and had to rebuild her career from the ground up, starting as a contract programmer at Xerox with no experience. Then she did it all over again, pioneering VLSI, a groundbreaking technology that allowed for microchips to be made small enough to fit into your pocket, paving the way for smartphones and personal computers. In 1999, she broke stealth, becoming an outspoken advocate for trans people. Computer experts noted that she worked on some of the major advancements in computing, and the Washington Blade remarks that the computers behind which transphobic internet trolls hide were ironically developed because of Lynn's involvement. Erin in the Morning blog also said, quote, Conway's life gave trans people another gift, a visible example that we can grow old and a reminder that we have always been here. In a world when so many of us have had to hide in silence or stealth, where representation has been denied and where we are told that our lives will be too dangerous to live, Conway proved that one could be trans and lived a long, fulfilling and proud life.
Pride Cymru say that they are holding a special evening of commemoration and celebration at Castle Mews on Friday the 21st of June from 7:30 to 9:30. To coincide with Pride Cymru's 25-year anniversary, they are reflecting on the wider movement of the Welsh LGBTQ plus communities, life over past decades and what challenges we must overcome in the next 25 years. This unique event will feature guest speakers and performance art offering a night of reflection. Together they will remember those who came before us and fought for the rights we have today. The event starts at 7:30 and entry is free. But if you are going, please register at the Pride Cymru website to assist with the crowd management.
American author, philosopher and editor David Douglas Boaz has died at the age of 70. He was a distinguished senior fellow and the executive vice president of the Cato Institute, an American libertarian think tank. He was also an openly gay man in libertarian circles. He was the author of Libertarianism, a Primer, published in 1997 by the Free Press and described in the Los Angeles Times as a well-researched manifesto. At the same time, Boaz said that his views were informed by classical liberalism and he was opposed to populism. He expressed scepticism of party politics and did not join the Libertarian Party. He appeared on ABC's Politically Incorrect, CNN's Crossfire, NPR's Talk of the Nation, Fox News Channel, the BBC, Voice of America and Radio Free Europe. Mr. Boaz was with his partner, Steve Miller, for over 30 years. The Cato Institute, a free market and libertarian think tank, had this to say. say. Under David's direction, Kato grew from a small organisation with a handful of employees renting space in San Francisco to a leading think tank in Washington, D.C. with a global presence. David was an authoritative commentator on everything from education choice and the growth of government to drug legalisation and marriage equality, they added.
LGBTQIA newswire Pink News reports that the Labour leader, Sir Keir Starmer, has speculated that transgender people under the care of the NHS could be accommodated in side rooms off of single-sex wards. He made the remarks on LBC, a talk radio network in the UK, despite the fact that trans activist group discovered that not a single complaint had ever been made about accommodating transgender people on the ward of their presenting gender. The issue of single-sex wards has been weaponized by various politicians from both major parties. Pink News notes that implementing such a policy would only increase the deficit of the NHS, as putting people up in single occupancy rooms is more expensive than hosting them in wards. Side rooms are often preserved for individuals who need to be isolated, either because of an infection or susceptibility to infection, possibly because of compromised immune system or after major surgery.
Sud Radio, a southern French radio network, reports that 15 unions from the performing arts, cinema and audiovisual industries are calling for a mobilisation tonight in Paris and throughout France for culture and against the far right. About 15 unions from the performing arts, cinema and audiovisual industries are calling for the mobilisation. In Paris, a rally is planned in front of the Cinématique Française in the 12e arrondissement. With far-right parties at the gates of power, our organisations measure their responsibilities at this decisive moment for democracy, for all the workers we represent, for our sectors and for France, the organisations wrote in a joint statement on Tuesday. The trade unions have pointed out that wherever the far-right gets in power, it tries to undermine the impartiality and freedom of expression of the arts, broadcasters and the print media.
And finally, LGBTQIA plus music fans were given a treat on Saturday night, the 15th of June, when BBC Two Television spent 2 hours celebrating Pride from the archives. First of all, at 10:40 was LGBTQ plus hits at the BBC, featuring archive performances by George Michael, Boy George, Freddie Mercury, Beth Ditto, MNEK, Lil Nas X and Barry Manilow. The Radio Times said some pushed boundaries and challenged gender stereotypes from the very start, while others only revealed their true selves after years of success and speculation. But all have played their part in changing the world of popular music. Then at 11:40 was Pride Hits at the BBC, with performances from Kylie Minogue, Elton John, Lady Gaga, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Dolly Parton and Dusty Springfield, and featuring tracks such as Relax, Small Town Boy, Born This Way, I Will Survive and Glad to Be Gay. Well done, BBC Two, for scheduling a night of Pride-themed entertaining and uplifting music.
Well, once again, it's been a busy week for LGBTQIA plus politics and culture. Stay connected through the week with the community through podcasts, webcasts and apps. And why not check out our regularly updated website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, it's been Steffi Barnett
and Terry Starr.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Another Dario G one, that's at Carnival de Paris. Now, that's the original version. We were talking about it off air. They did remake that and it became an official anthem a few years later. But of course, when that came out, it became an anthem that year, whether they wanted to or not. So I love the way it hits the bagpipes bit. Yay! The first thing Tara goes, yay!
Nice bit of bagpipes.
It's an amazing song.
Yes.
And I think it's timeless.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those that'll be around for a while. It's a 90s song, so it's been around for quite some time.
Best time already, for music, if you ask me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, but then I grew up with that.
Me too. Yeah. Same.
So you must have been Section 28, similar.
Yeah, well, born in 85. Yeah. So
it would have affected you, because it didn't finish until 2002.
Well, it was basically the don't say gay of the time, wasn't it? So it's weren't to be talked about, weren't to ask about, and weren't to be educated about.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to talk about something completely different now. Make sure I say this right. Hang on. Craniosacral therapy. Is that right?
You've got it.
I got it. So very well welcome to the show to Lisa. It's lovely to have you here with us.
Oh, nice to be here. Thank you.
So now it's got to be the first question because I've got here it's abbreviated as CSTA, isn't it?
That's the Craniosacral Association.
Ah, right.
Yeah, okay. So okay. That's the regulating body.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to preempt what most of the listeners are going to ask and say, what on earth is it?
Okay. It is a light touch therapy that in which I connect with my clients' rhythms. So it started off...
Is it like massage therapy or...?
It's not really massage. It's literally... very light touch. Some people would say that we're not really doing very much to them at all, but we are connecting. We're connecting in places and in ways that tap in to the rhythms of your body in order for you to maybe get over a block or to encourage things to start flowing better.
Right. So... Is it kind of crossover with things more like meditation as well?
Meditation, osteopathy. My practice is called biodynamic craniosacral therapy. Mm. Yeah.
So how on earth did you get into it?
When I was 26, I hurt my back really badly. I was also in a really bad headspace, maybe because of the pain, maybe because of other stuff. And I'd been to... regular doctors, I'd been to chiropractors, I'd done a bunch of things, and nothing was getting to the core of the problem. And some days I couldn't walk, and then I went to see a craniosacral therapist. And now that I know, now that I'm wiser, I would say that everyone helped me along the way.
So how did you find out about it? Was it like an advert in the paper, or did someone
mention
it?
Through a friend. And when I was a kid as well, I feel like we work with this energy flow, we call it the tide. And when I was a kid and I was really badly bullied, I feel like I connected to that energy without knowing what it was. And now I work with it.
Because I was going to say, I mean, you mentioned there, like, did you say the energy flowing through the body? That's something you connect to.
Yes. So, there's a bunch. There's all different types of rhythms.
Well, that was what I was going to ask, because... I don't ever know that I've ever felt a rhythm of energy through my body. I'm being very careful how I say this. You'll notice. How is it something you sense or something you can feel? Or
we can feel it. It's they're very, very subtle rhythms, but I might feel the rhythm or the frequency of your nervous system, for example.
Right.
So we train, and we can feel all these different subtle rhythms in your body. When craniosacral started, it was thought that the only two rhythms in the body were a heartbeat and your respiratory system. And then during surgery, someone felt the rhythm of the cerebral spinal fluid, which runs from your cranium to your sacrum, and that's why they named it craniosacral therapy. But now we realize that there are actually many rhythms in your body. Every single little cell has a rhythm, and so I might be able to...
But is this something I should be able to feel myself? I can't say I ever have.
I believe that, I could teach you how to feel your own mid-tide, for example, but I could also teach you how to do craniosacral therapy over a period of time. I don't think it's magic. I think anyone can learn to do it.
So what was the game changer? Why do you think it works so much better than all the other ones you tried?
Actually, I don't think it's better than any other therapy. I think we're all part of a village, and we all contribute to people's well-being in different ways. I just walked out of that. I think it was a moment in time. It was so gentle. Maybe I needed to be treated that gently. And I dropped down into a really relaxed state, And then when I left, I finally, after months and months and sometimes not being able to walk and being really mentally unwell at the time, I felt better.
One of the things, I won't mention names because I forgot to ask if we can, but we were talking off air about there are some people who are trans and non-binary mm-hmm. who feel very self-conscious yeah. about their bodies and wouldn't necessarily go for some of the therapies because it involves taking
that's right.
lots of clothes
we
off,
were talking whereas, about dysphoria
yeah.
Which is something that I still experience. I experience it every day. It brings me a lot of discomfort. It's more present in some minutes than it is in others, but it's always there. And it's always taken for me, I'll just talk on a personal level, to walk into a space and feel a connection with the massage therapist, for me to feel able to be in that vulnerable space. And we were talking off air about
this is clothed, isn't it?
Yes, this is like that, and that's massage, the difference. Yeah. This is clothed, yeah. and also, but you work with LGBTQI plus people. So I was wondering, what is it like for you working with different people within the community? And is I mean, of course, every person's different, but how do you sit in that space?
I love it. I feel like that part of my practice is growing because it's so gentle and it's fully clothed. And I found, for example, if someone doesn't want to be touched at all or in the first couple of sessions, I can still work with the energy without even going that far. So it's very careful with each person, and you can reach such a level of relaxation just having to lie there and just lying there and being sort of in the presence of a caring person mm. quietly, that it can bring you into your body in a positive way. So I found that people that have had difficulty coming into being with themselves positively have gone, wow, for the first time in ages, I've just felt relaxed and happy in my own body.
Am I the only one here who feels they could listen to Lisa yes. and just feel very calm and chilled anyway?
I was thank also you. Reflecting on how
I'm not always calm,
but right here, right now, you are. I was thinking about stepping into that space, and just so there's so many different experiences that just one person can have, and there's so much. There's a depth of vulnerability that people can feel just making eye contact with somebody, just by being in a one-to-one space with somebody. But I was also thinking there about how that could be the first time for some people that they've ever been in a space that's all about them.
Well, that's a very good question, and one we haven't asked. Is this a one-to-one thing, or is this a one-to...
It is a one-to-one thing. Right. Of course, you could do a workshop teaching particular moves or techniques. I could right. do a workshop to a group doing that, but it is in general, and in my class, we were in a group, but the treatment is one-to-one. And that's what I love about it. I love. Mm. I used to run a cafe, so I love being able to help people one to one.
Is it quite trauma focused as well? Is there a lot of trauma that gets brought into that space?
Yeah, it's a trauma-informed therapy. Mm. There's some specific holds or techniques that are for sitting with and holding trauma in certain. In certain particular parts of the body. And I like to think that maybe for a second, the client might be sharing their trauma with you. It doesn't hurt me because it's not my trauma, but it gives maybe the client the idea of what it's like not to hold it all themselves.
Are we talking both here as well, both mental and physical?
Both mental right. and physical.
Yeah. I was going to say, because the first thing you said, it was about your back, wasn't it? Which is quite different from
yeah.
you know, if you're yes. having issues on mental level.
But we hold our trauma physically. So if you've had one or many traumatic experiences, we can hold that within our system, so we can end up in pain, in physical exactly. pain.
Mm. Yeah.
And sometimes it's about even having a minute of your day to share yeah. a space where you don't have to hold that.
And let's face it, we do live exactly. in a very fast-paced
yeah.
world that really can sweep you off your feet if you're not careful and knock you for six. You know, I mean, some people I've worked with, and myself included, luckily not my current job, but in previous ones I've had, you go so fast and then you go, right, I'm going to have a couple of weeks off, and you're ill.
Yeah.
Because you unwind and you unwind so quick.
Because your body's waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's classic to be going on a holiday and get ill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's a fascinating subject. If people are listening and they want to know more or perhaps book a session, what's the easiest way they can get hold of you?
Just on my website, which is lisaannloader.com. Really easy.
Nice and easy.
And cool. I practice in Bristol right now, Mondays and Tuesdays.
Where else are you then? Because we've got quite a coverage there.
Bridport, Dorset as well. Nice. And I'm just about to start in Dorchester too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right, quick. Someone get us a station up in Dorchester.
Let's.
Well, listen, it's been lovely talking to you, Lisa.
Oh, nice talking to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you'll have to come back and tell us a bit more about it another time, perhaps. I always feel like 12 minutes is just not quite enough, is it?
So, yeah.
So, anyway, we've been doing a bit of a tribute to the lovely Dario G throughout the show. Here's his biggest hit ever. This is Sunshine.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go, the lovely Dario G.
Takes me back.
It does, doesn't it? That's such a hit, that one. Yeah. That one's going to have to go in the Pride playlist
too,
I think.
Summer of 1996.
I'm going to acknowledge my ignorance. I didn't actually think I would know every single song, and I did.
Did you? So, I didn't know, because the first one wasn't his. It was actually Shirley Bassey's, and he did a remix of it, and it was one of his earliest ones. So, but I wanted more than just those two, because he's most famous for those two, and that was the third one I found. And
cool.
Yeah, lovely track. So.
Yeah, really, really, really is, and I think it's so important to, what's the word?
Celebrate.
Yes, remember and celebrate.
Yeah, yeah. We don't do it very often, but he like, you know. It was part of that 90s ilk that really stirred up dance.
Yeah.
You know. And apparently the 90s having a research. I wish I'd held on to my baggy jeans.
Is it? That was the 90s are back in fashion.
Yeah, apparently, right? Yeah.
What, the baggy jeans?
baggy everything.
Yeah, baggy everything. Yeah.
It was a positive era. I think it was nice antidote to... It was like the late 60s, the late mid to late 90s. There was... Britain was booming. The economy was good. There was... You
Battle
know,
of the Bands.
There was Battle of the Bands. There was, you know, this Britpop culture. You know, it was...
All the artists were...
Positive.
And boy bands. I loved the
boy
bands.
There were boy bands. Take that.
I'm not shy. I will admit this. Also, girl bands.
Take
Bewitched.
That.
Girls Aloud.
Spice Girls.
Boyzone. Yeah. Five. I was a huge Five fan. Yeah, I miss all that. Bring it back.
Yeah. Were you a fan of any of those back then in the 90s?
I loved the 90s.
Did you? who was your favourite?
Who was my favourite?
I'm putting you on the spot here.
I guess. I love Boy George.
I love
Boy George so much. I got to see him later on in Bridport too, my little town. He came to DJ.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah. He did a lot of DJing back then, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he still does. Does he still DJ?
He still DJs, yeah.
I mean... I don't know how actual DJing it is versus playing something and standing there.
Yeah, but it's Boy George.
It's Boy George.
Yeah, in nice hats.
Bit of a cultural
looking
icon.
Fabulous. Yeah, he's been on quite a journey, hasn't he, throughout, you know, his addiction and then recovery and to the space that he's in now, and he speaks very openly about that. So.
It's a shame we've got George Michael still with us, sadly.
Yes.
You know.
Of course.
He had lots of hits back then as well.
Album.
But yeah, no, it was the age of clubbing, really.
Mm. And Erasure. When was Erasure? Because I love Erasure. 80s, okay.
Yeah. Well, 80s
Pet
into
Boys.
The 90s.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Pet Shop Boys.
Well.
And of course, Ab Fab. Who can forget Absolutely Fabulous in the 90s?
Oh, the TV show.
Yeah.
Okay, not the band. Yeah.
Well, I thought of that because
I've not heard of them.
The Pet Shop Boys did a cover, didn't they?
Absolutely Fabulous.
Which is coming back for a one-off special.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I hope it's not as much of a disaster as the film.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said it. I was thinking it.
But it was, wasn't it? That was recommended or essential queer viewing.
Well, she's always said, whenever she goes to write something, she just ends up back at Ab Fab. Yeah. Right. No, she just can't get it out of her head when she's writing stuff. She finds it really difficult.
This is Jennifer Saunders.
Yeah. And I recently binge watched Murder Most Horrid, which was the one Dawn French was famous for before that.
Yes.
If you've never seen that, it's brilliant. And people forget about it, but she was really good in that. So
absolutely.
Wow.
Well, some good TV recommendations there.
Yeah. Although it's sunny, get out. So
yes, enjoy the world.
Anyway, that's it for another week. There's lots of opportunities if you'd like to get involved with Shout Out, where we would love your help. From Bristol Pride to the Shout Out Listeners Awards on air and off air, just get in touch. Go to our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, it's Mysterious.
Mysterious.
Mm.
From myself, from Terry, from Ayers, from Lisa, from Tara, and the lovely Steph in the corner. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.